And of course, this hour we'll take your phone calls with Danion Brinkley as we talk about his work, Saved by the Light, on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie. We'll take your calls in a moment with Danion Brinkley. Danion, you were talking about Ruth Montgomery, the journalist and the psychic. Go ahead. Pick up
that story. Well, she was an automatic writer. She was a Washington Post writer. And she broke out Jane Dixon. She wrote 12 books. I never read any of those books, George. But she used to write me letters. Remember, she had...
Really?
I have them. She has Arthur Ford and Lily in the group. Okay, and after the lightning, I probably have 15 letters from her, and she would send me messages from Arthur Ford and Lily in the group, and she and I became really good friends. And, you know, I never knew what to do with that kind of information, okay, because I never talked about it, but I have the letters still. And I think something that I want to try to get across to people is, this is something I'm proud of, but yet I don't quite understand it. She sent me this letter that I have that was about the work, about the centers and the things that I was told to do, which I said from 1975 till today, and I have successfully achieved those goals. She told me something that Lily in the group was telling her about how proud they were of the work I was doing. And then she stopped, and at the end of it, she said, and I still have this letter. It said, Danion, this is accolade that they had ever given anybody in all the automatic writing she'd ever did. And that was amazing to her and something to be proud of. But how do you tell people about that kind of stuff, George? You know, how do you tell that?
It's not easy.
Yeah, you keep it. You know, I was too busy trying to be as sane as the people who needed someone to defend them. But, you know, I have a whole nother series of stories that, you know, I never could quite piece it together. But I was listening to the bumper music, and whoever's producing that bumper music, they were doing Pete Townsend and Roger Daltrey from The Who, John Entwistle.
Yep.
And you know what, George, when I stopped to think of, here is The Who, and they're going on 70 years old, and this music was as magnificent, and it was Who Are You, which is a great piece of bumper music based on the last segment. So I'm really proud of the producers.
Good for you. But anyways, Daniel, back to your boxes of knowledge, these prophecies, basically. Tell me about the World War III thoughts. That's the scary one to me.
Well, but... you have to look at it from this point, George. Nothing was carved in stone. And World War III, we're moving into it now. I mean, we're focusing on Iran and we're focused on the Middle East. We're looking at oil. The Chinese and the Japanese are fighting over islands. The Falkland Islands are now trying to get freedom from Britain again.
Mm-hmm.
We are drone killing. You know, if you're not going to meet a man face-to-face in a fair fight, then you're going to create more and more. Now look at Syria. Look at Lebanon. Look at Israel. Look at where the powder kegs are. Look at where they are, and we're watching it every day. And what happens when Jerusalem has to take action in what it believes it must defend itself based on either the game is being played politically or the weakness of one nation as perceived by another in the politics, the rise of the UN, the Palestinian issue, the things in Saudi Arabia, the currency devaluation, the end of the banking system that we've had since the end of World War II, and the printing of fiat money. And now we're into Basel III from the International Bank of Settlements, which completely changes.
You're going to make us jump off a bridge, Daniel?
Absolutely not, George. Everybody who was here today was chosen to be here. I believe without any question, you choose to come and you're chosen to come. That the divine architect knew there would be nobody better than you to be here at this time. Look, George. If the world was coming to an end, are you not putting the information out so people can make choices?
I sure will.
You're already doing it.
Well, but I would do it even faster if we knew we were
coming. You know what,
George?
I've been on a 38-year mission, and I have taken a near-death experience to where in the standardized end-of-life care model, produced by the Veterans Administration for compassionate volunteers because of the massive amount between 65 and 73,000 veterans passing every 30 days. And I have had the Twilight Brigade exempted from the standardized because of the quality of the program that was created. And I helped with the writing, and the Twilight Brigade helped with the writing. I think that from a person who had a near-death experience that believed what they saw in this vision, who wrote it down 38, 36 years ago, and who has lived all the way through it, it's a simple viewpoint that people could look at when you said, how can you believe there's life after death, and how can you believe that you're chosen here, George? Because I've never moved. I've studied no matter open heart surgery or brain surgery, staph infections, you know, as close to death, and then another heart surgery in 2008, that massive heart attack. But I've never moved away. We don't want to jump. We were chosen to be here because you will keep the light lit. We'll keep informing people. I'd like to do this twice a year because I think that we've helped that audience tonight, and we've encouraged people to believe more in themselves and to stand up and not be afraid. I always used to laugh, and I said, well, what are they going to do, kill me? Well, big deal. Who cares about that? Nobody's ever going to die, George. We're going to live, and we're going to change, and we're going to take back our country and take back all those things that are our opportunities in the Bill of Rights. And it'll start this election year. This is one of the most important midterm elections in the history of the United States of America. We all have to get active, we all have to get involved, and we have to pay attention to our spiritual selves, learn to meditate, learn to look at Qigong and Tai Chi, and look at things that allow you to go inside of yourself as opposed to being pulled out and drawn into the electronic media and control media.
Well, we got to start caring about other people, Daniel, and stop hating. And
I agree with you, but I see revolutions, George.
I
see
too.
The veteran very smart, and I see the thing that I wanted to go back to about tonight. How we treat our veterans and how we get informed about what's going on with our veterans, like the people who called in tonight, we're the only ones really talking about it. We're talking about what we're thankful for, but we're also looking at the things that we should care about. And people can go to, they can go to Help the Twilight Brigade and look at this stuff and look at the web, we have a Passing Thoughts newsletter, it's up on the internet, and just look at it and see if it strikes you and to be a part of it. I mean, the more power we have as people who are willing to face death, the more powerful that group of people becomes when they stand up for what's our rights and what they believe in, because you cannot intimidate them with that kind of fear.
We've got a whole group of calls here for you, Daniel, so let's start. Let's go with Helen in Houston, east of the Rockies. Hello, Helen.
Hello there.
Thank you,
George, very much for taking my call. Mm-hmm. And, Daniel, you're somebody I dreamt about or thought about for over 30 years. Every time I saw an out-of-body experience in the paper or something, I would cut it out. I've tried to buy all the books I could.
Thank you so much.
You are the first astronauts. You are truly, true astronauts that could go to another dimension. And you have given so much hope to other people. I'd like to also give a shout out to a person here in our Texas area, Wharton County. My brother was killed in Vietnam. And because he was such a beloved young man, he received a lot of accolades. But then again, when it came to a monument being built in our county court house lawn, his name was left off, and we were just devastated. Well, it has been like nearly 30 years, and finally I had mentioned this to someone who was working so hard on the Vietnam Wall, the one that travels around. Yeah. And we had a big ceremony, and they found out about Leonard's name not being on there. Well, Sunday, we attended a ceremony with people coming from Wisconsin, from all over the states, and
right,
all over the area to honor those guys, be- because their names were left off. And I really appreciate all the efforts of Miss Sarah Hudgens for doing this. I'm just a remarkable young woman who can get things done. But I am going, now that I know you, I'm a coast-to-coast listener, just practically every night. And I am going to try and buy your books. And you say that one of them is about the Twilight Brocade. How many books do you have out, sir?
I've Saved by the Light, At Peace in the Light, and then The Secrets of the Light. And I have a new book coming out called 10 Things to Know Before You Go. Aspire to Inspire Before You Expire. But Helen, let me tell you something else. There's another part of George that you don't get to talk about. It's on, Beyond Belief, which is on Gaim TV, and it's a free trial. And so tell everybody that you know to go to Gaim and see another part. It's great to listen to George in these shows, but when it's George and it's an hour of information, and especially one-on-one and the reaction between George and the people that he's bringing on, I think that it's a benefit. I hope that you buy my books and George's books and become a part of the Twilight Brigade, but also hope that GaimTV.com becomes an active part of your circle of friends and their circle of friends.
And if they want that website, it's beyondbelief.com, which has been set up just for that show, Daniel. Because after they did that show with you, they had such an enormous response. They said, I think we need to dedicate the show with its own website, and there you go.
So. That is so great. But, gee, George, people have to be able to – some people get it from listening. Some people get it visually. And you represent that voice in the wilderness, that we belong to the night. And then it's just everybody has different ways of absorbing that information. And beyondbelief.com, please, everybody, it's free. You get to look at it, and it's inexpensive if you decide to stay. But there's a whole world to look at that George is bringing forth on a multimedia platform. And I'm proud of that, George.
Well, we're going to keep doing it, Daniel, and we're not going to stop. How's your health today? How are you doing?
I'm going through a few little minor problems. I mean, you know, I wear myself out pushing so hard because...
And here I am working you 4 hours tonight.
But wait a second, George. This is the end of an era. I mean, you have 15 years, and we have succeeded with the Twilight Brigade and where it's going to go. We always need money, but we've succeeded in where it was supposed to go, so I can move to the next phase, which is the manifesting these centers, these places where people can come and go through experiences, grief, bereavement, trauma. I mean, I'm building it at present, and I will incorporate it in the VA system. You know, there's BethClay.com, and there is the Hyperbaric Chamber. There is what we call the Clint E, which is a musical induction system to get the brainwave back synchronized that it gets out during PTSD. You know, and I see all kinds of really great opportunities. But you know what's so wild, George? How could those beings know this much, and how could they understand where we would go and have probable possibilities of how we would react, you know, and what we would do? And I'm just as proud that I got to this night, and I hope people ask a lot of questions, but I'm just as glad to be here, and I thank you so much. And I thank Tommy, and I was looking at all the emails and the things that are coming in off of Facebook of how thankful people are to both you and me and the staff for caring about veterans in what really matters, as opposed to paying homage about all the good stuff everybody's doing, but the things that we need to care about.
Well, you know, we were looking at the calendar 6 months ago, Daniel, and Tom and I said, oh my gosh, Veterans Day, there it is, let's do it. And bang, so here you are. So I'm so glad all
I'm
is
so
well.
Thankful.
Can't believe this year is almost gone.
But you got to remember, it's not time that's speeding up, George. It's creation. See,
something's
one another one of the things the Mayans. I get so much from what you would call lightning shamans. I couldn't understand what being struck by lightning was in the normal American society in 1975. So I started studying shamanism, lightning shamans, and they have a cultural history in like 15 different cultures all over the world where they have lightning. And what happens to people who are struck by lightning, they're called lightning shamans, and they become healers and prophets and end-of-life care and grief and trauma, marriage counselors. So I found so much about that in the course of looking and trying to understand the near-death experience, because I've been with hundreds, I think I've been with 2,006 people going from this world to the next and studying it. Why I'm writing 10 Things to Know Before You Go with Catherine, you know, the beloved, is because I need a male point of view and a female point of view about the same issues, because it's like men are from Mars and women are from Venus.
Well,
there's two different ways that people look at stuff.
Let's go to Francis in Indio, California, west of the Rockies. Hi, Francis. You're on with Danny and Brinkley.
Hi. Hi, Danny. I just wanted to, George, I just wanted to say, Danny, thank you. Thank you so very, very much for what you're doing. I had two brothers who served in Vietnam, one in the Navy and one in the Air Force. And one of them back in 1964, the one that was in the Navy, he was pretty bad off when he mentally when he came back. And we brought him to the VA hospital, and we tried to get him some help. And they said he wasn't too bad, and they sent him back. They said there was a long waiting list and everything. And he wound up jumping off a building losing his eye and his leg in Hawaii. And for 3 days, they called him Mr. X. They didn't know who he was. And he spent the rest of his life in a Vietnam hospital until, thankfully to God, after so much suffering, he finally passed away back in 2008.
So well, I'm sorry for your loss. And it's just one more to point that to bring the battle cry. Vietnam was because of Agent Orange and because of depleted uranium, George, and because of PTSD. Remember, you do not know who your enemy is, the same as these people in Afghanistan and Iraq, what I was saying earlier. You didn't know who your enemy was, and the person who smiled and helped you in the day was the person who would walk off the so you could put
kill you at night.
A mortar. You could put, if you knew how to pace how many steps it was to the headquarters, then you could put mortars in there at night. So the PTSD section was over the top, but because the government and the companies who created Agent Orange as a defoliant, depleted uranium, which is a radioactive isotope, more bang for the buck. But it began to affect in all the illnesses, just like Desert Storm Syndrome. They know it exists, but they won't identify it because what it would cost to pay the soldiers and the veterans for what we did to them knowingly. We defended the companies who invented it and said you couldn't sue them, and in return they began to look at diabetes and cancer and clusters and all those things and suicide because they were rejected because it was Vietnam and they had nowhere to turn.
Danian, we're going to come back and take final phone calls with you in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back to Coast, Danian Brinkley with us. Danian, let me ask you this. You're like a cat with 9 lives. 3 of them you almost died. Can you remember any other episodes where you might have gotten into a car accident or anything? I want to know how many of those lives you've eaten up.
Well, George, I went through 2 heart surgeries. One in 2008 when I had a massive heart attack flying home from Norway. I'm right now fighting a staph infection.
You know, that's dangerous.
I could lose my left arm is what they're all worried about. But, you know, what you'd have to do, George, is you have to look at it because of, remember what caused me my heart surgery was that staph ate my aortic valve, the one I almost didn't make. Mm. So I have a propensity to have staph. I have it now. Dr. Mom, Catherine, is doing a great job, and I have a great cardiologist, and I have a great internist. So, you know, I'm careful, I pay attention, but when you said keeping me up, Kat and I, we're still finishing 10 Things to Know. So this is usually about the time we start to slow down to go to sleep because we work on it in the late evenings when everything calms down around here.
Well, my friend, you stay strong. I assume you're on antibiotics for the infection, huh?
And also, colloidal silver. I use some antibiotics because of staph, and I rotate them, but I drink colloidal silver, and I take a combination of trace minerals and pH-balanced water, and I'm going to go to this health number you just gave, 855-949-7234, and see what it is. We all have to move away from pills, George. And one of the big things I want to tell you that's in the prophecy is the advancement of energetic medicine. And what's going to happen, think of this, George. We went from the physical medicine side, and then we went into pharmaceutical medicine side, and we didn't all get to think we were going to live forever, George, until they created in the Civil War sulfur, and then the advent of penicillin, which created a new world of antibiotics, and now we're into the pharmaceutical side. But with quantum dynamics, we're going to move into the energetic side, and when a pharmaceutical company has to explain electrically how that drug or how that chemical creates an electrical function in the body, the world of energetic medicine and the return to like Rife machines and crystals and these kinds of things are going to come back around as healing tools. I think that's going to be pretty amazing when I heard it that long ago, 1975, but I'm watching it happen. I made predictions in Secrets of the Light, and it was just that I remembered what they showed me, not that I had a prediction. And I had a guy from Temple University tell me, at Peace in the Light in 95, experiments that he was doing now in the medical facility using energetics and lasers to guide toward cancer treatments by attaching a metal, gold or some nanostructured metal to the damaged area and only destroying it instead of destroying so many other cells like they're using with chemotherapy and radiation. That's some pretty neat stuff to have seen come true after 38 years, George.
Sure is. All right, let's go back to the calls. Jen is in Santa Fe, New Mexico. Hey, Jen, welcome to the program.
Yes. Hello, George and Danion.
Hi.
I just want to celebrate both of you, whom I've enjoyed a lot. And by the way, this is Marshall Clarfeld's daughter calling again.
Oh, there you are. Hey, father did a great job for us.
Well, I loved hearing him for the ninth time on your wonderful show. You guys have so much fun together, always.
I had to ask him twice, Jen, is that your real daughter? And he said, sure is.
Well, every time I called before, I would not say who I was.
That's right.
But I'm a Dolores Cannon practitioner, and I know Danion's been on the circuit, so to speak, with Dolores, you know, since way before a lot of other people have. I had one question and one comment. So the comment, I really want to pay tribute to the reality of how the people who have been real warriors and real soldiers remind us all that so much of life on planet Earth is like a war and is a huge challenge, just all the things, the trials and travails humans deal with every day. So I just really wanted to celebrate that part as well. And my question is, I want to ask Danion, well, now two things, having heard the thing he's speaking of now. So my new question would be, have you worked with any of the Dolores practitioners to get to the bottom or root of your staph infection, if it wouldn't interfere with any books you might write in the future? And also, I just wanted to know what your prophecies and what you know and feel, how it dovetails with the new earth that Dolores Cannon writes about.
All right, very
well,
good.
But first, I look at every complementary and alternative policy. I have known Dolores for probably 25 years because I've been out here on the lecture circuit for 34 years. So, I mean, I've seen everybody come and go, and I've watched the evolution of the consciousness. I look at Dolores's. I look at Eric Reconnection. I look at any form of energetic medicine. The New Earth theory comes about from a couple of places. The Filipinos have a concept called the New Jerusalem. It's It's the whole thing about the end of time in the Bible and the Armageddon, and then the rise of the New Jerusalem, or the so-called prophecies of the Revelation of John. But there is a new emerging paradigm. And I use the Maya because I know for 45 years I studied them meticulously. There is a new energetic paradigm. People are now becoming to connect with Instagram and tweets and Facebook, and there becomes a universal connectiveness. We are watching both trauma and excitement in real time on our computers. We're seeing hurricanes in the Philippines, and my heart goes out to everybody in the Philippines and a lot to the 300,000 expats who served in Subic Bay and who served in that period and fell in love with the Philippines. My heart goes out there. But it also, in real time, we're being able to see the connection of we as parents and grandparents seeing the birth of our children. We can take an iPad into the hospital and Skype so that the people in the hospitals and in the VAs and nursing homes around the country can see their children and their grandchildren in this fast-moving, strangely economic position. It creates a way that we can serve real time. I think that this is going to create a connection between people, like what Coast to Coast and streaming it on Sirius and streaming it and through the newsletter and streaming it through the After Dark. This is going to create a connection between us all. And the birth of the New Jerusalem or the new country or the new event will come about because we are becoming connected to each other as one unit through what we now know as the Internet or electronic airways.
Nicely said. Ray in Willow, Alaska, you're on with Daniel Brinkley. Raymond, go ahead.
Hi, both of you.
Hi, Ray.
You know, 1975, I started off on quite a spiritual trip myself and became a hypnotherapist, and I'm seeing a lot of the same thing here. You know, there's so much within our own self, and too many people are looking outside of self, and what I found, there's nothing really wrong with people if they can be tricked into being well. I believe I might have met you in Custer, South Dakota in 1996.
I think that's very possible.
At a gathering?
Yeah.
Gathering of eagles.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah, well, we come up and start talking to me, and a lot of people do that.
Because you're a charming, handsome, and brilliant young man.
You were telling me about some kind of minerals that you had to take because you couldn't eat food. I was kind of curious if you could share that.
I would take liquid trace minerals from the Great Salt Lake. I mean, I had a lot of problems in those days, George. I've been through a lot of ups and downs. And
you sure have, my
friend. Yeah, and the staff, like this staff, it's scary, but I can keep it isolated. And it comes from the weakening of my, it's probably adrenaline and... Once I saw it, because I've had it a bunch of times after the open heart surgery, but once I saw it, I began to isolate it and get really smart, and I have to eat certain things because I'm on Coumadin, because I have a prosthesis valve. So I walk that very edge between this world and the next world, and I'm very thankful that I am as comfortable in that world as I am in this one. And it's always funny, like people make fun of, they said, Daniel, you have more dead friends than you have living friends. And it's nice to be comfortable to know that, George.
Are you at a point in your life where if you go tomorrow, you feel as if it was all worth it?
Tonight, George?
Yeah.
There is no question. And now I get to close the chapter with the centers. A 38-year campaign to achieve goals that I am so proud of everybody who's helped me. You know, all the people who work and come and the people who donate and support the programs, who come to the lectures, you know, people are still turning out and showing up and supporting. They're going to the Twilight Brigade. They're helping me fund this program so that we can make a difference. What's going to happen, George, is the 25 million Americans who've had some form of the near-death experience, when we get to what in the healthcare program, which everybody denies it, but when we get to what we call quote-unquote death panels, because the system will go palliative and then ethics panels is what they're going to call them, but they're really death panels because too many of we baby boomers turning 65, 10,000 every day are turning 65, and the cost and the burden of that has to be guided and able to make it economically feasible and make room for kids to pay into it. So when that happens, those of us who've had this experience will be a force to be reckoned with and dealt with. That's why I have such confidence. So many doctors have had this experience. Look at Van Hubbel. Look at Jeffrey Long. Look at Paul Perry. Paul is a good friend, and he has written 5 New York Times bestsellers dealing with near-death experiences. And Jeffrey, and look at Eben, and look at the people who are coming out that now the fact that the near-death experience when I started was, oh, God, the damage and the abuse that Raymond took. I don't handle abuse very well. I react to it quite quickly. But I watch that kind of stuff, and now we are a force to be reckoned with. We understand it's not a religious experience for as the primer, although a lot of people relate to it as a religious experience. It's caused by the advancement of medicine. Whose fault is it that I came back? Medicine. They create ways to understand the chemical nature of a body. They can keep it alive longer than it's supposed to be here, but they also can bring us back. When I started, George, 5 minutes with no pulse, no respiration, and no EKG, that was considered dead. Today, people are resuscitated up to 3 hours, depending on the conditions and the temperature of the body. So look at where I started those long years ago, and look at what the near-death experience and the advancements of science has brought us to the brink of accepting that there are dimensional realities, quantitatively looking at it, that easily could be what we would call heaven based on the multi-universe theory. I mean, these things become concrete science that we really are more than just mental, physical beings. We are really spiritual beings.
Well, I'm glad you did come back, my friend. Let's take a few more calls and wrap things up and let you get some sleep. Let's go to Yelm, Washington. Kay's with us. Hi, Kay. Good morning. Well, your phone is not working, Kay. Try to call us back on the wild card line if you would. We'll try to keep that line open for you. Grant in Overland Park, Kansas, first-time caller. Grant, thank you for calling.
No problem. I'm really interested in the kind of what he's talking about with all the alternate universes, pretty much. Through meditative practices, I've actually walked in through these places that I feel they constantly intersect where we are now, but we can safely pass through to them and back.
And there's absolutely no question about that. If you look at the Higgs boson particle and what's going on in Switzerland and with the electron bombardment, they are really proving that these dimensions exist. What they do is they take an electron and they attach a radioactive tachyon. Then they electrically bombard it, and that electron disappears. And it disappears, and when they reduce the bombardment, the electron bombardment, it reappears. And how you know it's the exact same electron? Because it has the isotope tachyon attached to it. This is the science that has proven that these multiple universes, when I first came back, I would sit because I couldn't walk, and I'd have to crawl literally on my stomach. And I would sit and pass through these dimensions just like what you were doing in a meditative state. But I think it was me trying to escape the pain. And I would pass into these multidimensional realities, and sometimes the beings that were there would recognize that I was there but never paid any attention to me. And then other times it was as though I was a stranger, but I would still pass through these dimensions. So I think you should focus deeper into your meditative state and be able to talk more about it, because science has proven in the multi-universe theory, which is, a part of the string theory, has proven that this is absolute truth. I think it was started by Planckian in 1801 and developed by an English physicist named Deutsch.
When does your new book, your new work, come out again?
It's called 10 Things to Know Before You Go. And HarperCollins, Harper One, and Mickey Model is publishing. And George, here I wrote it. And you let me do this on Gaim, and I was thankful because I put ask yourself this question. What's the number one cause of death in America and most other countries? You turn the page and it says, no matter what you thought, the answer is birth is the number one cause of death. If you were born, then you turn to the next page. It says, remember, if you're breathing, you're leaving. And if you just took a breath, this book is for you. And I begin to describe what I've learned in 36 years as a hospice volunteer, being at the bedside and seeing what people talk about and what really had value to them. Number one, so you can take a good look at yourself based on these basic spiritual principles. And number two, you'll be able to interact with people that you love and care about as they make their decisions. So it's like a workbook formula. And I'm really proud, George, to have come this distance and to live this long, and really thankful for your friendship and Tommy's friendship.
Well, as Robert Frost once wrote, I still trust you have miles to go before you sleep, Daniel.
Well, you know what? I thank you for this night, and it doesn't really matter if it happens tonight. I got a chance to tell my story and a chance to be a part of the honoring of veterans, and I hope we make this a twice-a-year program.
Thank you, my friend. Danyon Brinkley. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Laudasur, Stephanie Smith, Chris Burrows, George Knapp, John V. Wells, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everybody.